Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
So welcome to On the Edge, Stella Georgiou. It is so nice to have you. Look at us, and we both have on animal print.
Rah. We do.
That's that feminine energy coming up, roaring up here on the edge. This is going to be fascinating. You know, she says she's a little nervous brain, so make her feel comfortable. Okay, make her feel comfortable talking to us, but we're going to talk about some serious stuff. You know, this is Suicide Prevention Month, and we want to support and encourage people and let them know that they can overcome and adapt. Stella is an amazing woman. She is a high achiever, and she's worked with high achievers. You know, high achievers get burnt out too, brains. Just because they're super smart doesn't mean that they don't get tired, that they get frustrated, and then they're in a circle of influence of other high achievers that don't know how to respond to them. There's nobody to bring them down a notch. We're going to talk about that. Depression and emotional freedom technique. I love tapping. I'm a tapper. Oh, yes, I will tap in a heartbeat. And really how that relieves stress and how that works. She had 3 kids under the age of 3. Now, that's enough to make you tap. But she also has some issues with her family separation challenges. So she's had a lot to overcome. And look at her now, wearing her animal print here on the edge. Stella Georgiou.
Thank you so much, April. Good morning. And thank you for having me on the edge today and for allowing me to share my story.
Absolutely.
Good morning, everybody. As April has said, my name is Stella. I'm a wellness and mindset coach here in Melbourne, Australia, and I have struggled with depression and anxiety for most of my life. When I started my healing journey, the last time I actually remembered being happy was when I was either 4 or 5. And as April mentioned, given that September is Suicide Prevention Month, we thought it was fitting to share this story to give people hope and to see that there is life after depression. During my lifetime, I contemplated ending my life numerous times. That was then, and it certainly is not that way now. So thank you so much, April, for allowing me to come on and to share a little Absolutely. Bit about my story and how I was able to overcome those challenges.
You know, I think, I don't know, I could really go into this, but everybody's had a thought of, you know, what would it be like if I just ended it all? I think at one time in everybody's life that they have experienced that because it's just gotten overwhelming. But what pulled you back is what I want to know, Stella. What made you pump the brakes and say, not me, not today?
Yeah, look, I think it wasn't one thing. It was a journey of getting to know myself. And I don't really think it was an option. I think life forces us to confront ourselves and to face our fears and gives us an opportunity to gain some wisdom from our experiences and to move forward. So basically, when we're in a state of depression where we're spinning our wheels, we're staying in this one stop, constantly suffering. In my case, I was the 6th of 7 children.
Ooh.
I was born in Cyprus. My family migrated to Australia when I was 9 due to political unrest. And like all families, mine had a history, one that they weren't always proud of, you know, skeletons in the closet, shame, guilt, secrets, all of those things. All families have a past. And parents parent us in the best way that they know how. So just to give you a little bit of a background, how I ended up in the place that I ended up and how I overcame that. So in my case, the way that I was being parented resulted in me feeling helpless and hopeless. I was in a situation in life where I learned that in order to be loved and to be accepted, I needed to be who people wanted me to be rather than who I was and to serve myself and my own emotional needs. So what happened then is I created this pattern that I took into every other relationship in life. I took that into my professional relationships and I took that into my personal relationships. I set myself unrealistic goals in all of the areas in my life. As you said, high achiever. From the outside, I was this amazing woman achieving amazing things, raising three children. They were actually under 14 months old. The twins were born when my eldest was 14 months old. And so I learned very early on in life that in order for me to be loved, to be accepted, to be worthy, I needed to be what people wanted me to be. And that meant doing whatever it took to get the love, the acceptance, the approval. Because let's face it, that's what we all want. We want love and connection.
Right. You are a people pleaser.
People pleaser, yeah. And I'm not talking about setting realistic goals. That's healthy. We all need to do that. It gives us a reason to get out of bed. And I'm not talking about the healthy give and take that happens in healthy relationships. I'm talking about ignoring my own needs in order to gain everybody else's approval, burning myself out, continuing to give when I had nothing left to give. And inevitably, you burn out. You just cannot continue to do that. So, yes, I was successful in the workplace and I had an immaculate home and beautiful looking children. To the world, my life looked perfect, but I was dying inside. Wow. I was wearing a mask, doing what I thought I needed to do to be loved, to be accepted, because that's all we really all want. We just want connection.
So, Stella, tell me a little bit about your relationship with your husband. Was he there? I mean, you know, did he support you at all? Was he numb to this? Did he have some of his own challenges? I mean, you were there with three children.
Yeah. So the man that I was married to was a very mentally unwell man. And I knew this before I married him. However, that's another story. It was a forced marriage, if you like. And so, no, he wasn't there. He was absent emotionally. He wasn't able to manage his own self, let alone support me. So I was virtually alone. And not only was I alone, he criticized me, told me how ugly I was, told me how I wasn't doing things right, told me that I was crazy. Told me terrible, terrible things, which he was unwell. He didn't know any better. So I certainly didn't have support from him. And I wanted to leave him because I wasn't coping. And I did seek medical advice and I was actually told that the relationship was unhealthy. But when I went to my family to seek their support, I was sent back home. My mother said, go home to your husband. So I was literally sent back home to an abusive situation. So I didn't have any support, to the point where one day I put my children in my car and the plan was to kill myself and my children because I had no support. And so if I killed myself, what would happen to my children? I needed to take them with me. But instead of doing that, I drove myself to a psychiatric hospital. And went in and spoke to somebody there. So that was lucky that I did that. So what drives us to that? I don't know that everybody has those thoughts. I have spoken to people who have support mechanisms.
I would bet.
Who have said they've never had.
I don't believe that. You know, now I'm saying to act upon it. To actually make a plan to do it. But it's run through my mind. It's like, you know what? I'm just giving up. And there's, I create the parallel because I want people to know that it's more normal than abnormal to have these kind of thoughts and emotions that run through your mind. I mean, we're all struggling day to day. This COVID has
absolutely
put some salt in the game. People are home with their abusers. They're depressed. They've lost their jobs. They're homeschooling. Just the isolation. I know it's starting to get to me. I haven't been on a vacation in almost 2 years. And I'm driving to the Grand Canyon in a few weeks. I need to get out and to do something to create some sort of normalcy. So when you found yourself and you created this normalcy, what plans did you put in place? What promises did you make to yourself for a brighter day.
Yeah. So as you've just explained, you're absolutely right. We need connection. We need people. And COVID is definitely making things a lot worse for people. And depression is, I think, the most misunderstood condition in the world. Depression, there's so much information out there about depression. My understanding of depression, my experience and my what I have learned from my journey, it all comes down to relationships. And with COVID, that's actually coming in the way of our relationships. And I guess that's where I was heading to when I was explaining earlier that very early on in my life, I didn't learn about healthy relationships. And therefore, I took that into my life. If our relationships are not healthy, and if we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves, we feel helpless and hopeless. And so, therefore, depression sets in. It's if you could imagine your, I want your love and approval, and I'm constantly seeking your love and approval, but you're not willing or you don't know how to give me that. I can only continue to want it and seek it and try for it for so long before I burn out and I end up depressed because I'm not understanding that you're not willing or you're not able to give it to me. So where things changed for me in my healing journey was to actually recognize and not be upset with people, to actually understand that some people are either incapable or not willing to give you what you need. And so therefore the relationship with yourself is very important. It didn't start out there for me. It started with the fact that I had three children that were reliant on me. And so I held on to dear life because I knew that it wasn't their fault and they deserved, loved them. We got through this together. I built that relationship with myself and with them.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. You wrote a book. Let me see book. It just released it. Our Way Back. Is that your story? Hold that up just a little bit. Yeah, let people see that. That's available on Amazon, right? Let me see if I can read the subtitle. It says Healing Our Past and Finding Inner Peace. Well, you know, a lot of people are delving into their past with the Akashic Records, with hypnotherapy, with talk therapy. But you also, in addition, we're going to talk about the book, but in addition to that, you started to tap.
I did.
Emotional freedom technique. How does that wake you up? What does that do for you? Because it is, when I first started doing it, I said, this is annoying. It doesn't work, but it does. It seems like you have a nervous tick or twitch. You can't be tapping too much in public. You know, you gotta go somewhere and, you know, play it off. You got an anxiety moment. You don't want to just be doing that in front of people. They'd be like, what is wrong with her? She's got something going on. She's busy. But tell me a little bit about what EFT has done for you and then share with us about the book.
Thank you. Yes. So I actually ran into EFT. The universe actually just put it in my path. I didn't go looking for it. To be completely honest, I had actually given up. I felt like I've raised my children. They're off. They're living their lives. I can just exist now. I don't need to live. I don't know how to be happy. I'd given up. And then through a friend, I was invited to a workshop on emotional freedom technique. I went there simply out of curiosity, and the healing that I got from that, I just could not stop going back. So I ended up becoming an emotional freedom technique practitioner because it changed my whole life. It enabled me to heal fully to the point where I actually can feel happiness again. And I have goals and I have dreams and I'm inspired again. So emotional freedom technique, it works on the Chinese meridian points. So when you're tapping, you're actually tapping on the meridians. It's acupuncture without needles is what emotional freedom technique is. And basically all of the traumas, all of the things that we experience in our childhood are trapped in our body. And the way to release it is through the meridians, which is what we do with tapping. So once I actually completed my certification in emotional freedom technique, because it had done so much for me, I started to share it with other people. And then before I knew it, it ended up a business. You know, I now have my own business, and I see clients and I help them with their depression, their anxiety, and all of the emotional problems that they have. It does sound a bit silly, you know. No,
but this is also a huge modality to working with children.
Yes.
It is not safe.
Yes, and I do.
And children find it somewhat entertaining, you know, but they get into this point. And in schools now here, I know in the United States, I don't know about there in Australia, they want to medicate. They want to label your children. They want to, you know, give them a bunch of letters in front and behind their name so that they can ostracize them, put them in this little pod of people. Okay, we're going to treat you a certain kind of way. But that's not it. You know, remember, I don't know if you used to do this there. Did they used to make you write standards? Like, I will not talk in class. You have to write that 250 times. They don't do that now. Teachers are incorporating meditation, EFT, in their daily routine. You know, instead of nap time, you might have meditation time. To teach people at an early age to center yourself and to become calm. Do you work with children as well?
I do. I actually do work with teenagers, and I work with children as young as 5.
Wow.
And as you say, that children actually do find it entertaining, and we make it a little bit entertaining for them. So when we're tapping on the chest, you know, we're Tarzan, you know, and we're king of the castle, and it's, you know, high sailor. So we do all that with children and make it fun for them. But children actually are so receptive to it. When you sit with a child and you start to tap with them, the moment you acknowledge their emotion, they're able to release it. It's brilliant. It works like magic. It takes longer for adults because obviously we've developed these ways of being over many years.
Right.
However, with children,
we want to process it. We want to relive it. We keep, you know, that neuro-linguistic program in brains. I tell you all the time, I have a conversation with the board of directors every day. Every day I do. And at night, before I go to bed, I set my intention for the next day.
Yeah.
How I'm going to have a great night's sleep, and what, you know, how could this get any better tomorrow? What are the possibilities? I set those questions up. So all I have to do is just fall right in line. Talking about falling in line, tell me about Our Way Back.
So the book is actually, it's a little bit faint here, but it's actually finding our way back to ourselves healing from our past and finding inner peace. You can get it on Amazon just by simply searching for my.
So let's go inside the pages of Our Way Back. You were mentioning something about Wayne Dyer. I used to go and participate and create the audiences when he did public television here, and it was an amazing experience. So tell me a little bit about, you know, that. Why don't you, Stella, will you grace us with the pages of your book? Read us a short excerpt. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear a little bit of your story.
Sure. So the purpose of this book is to let people know that it's never too late for a new beginning. That's the real purpose of this book. So chapter 6 is actually expressing life through verses. So I've written a memoir about my life, but also the journey of healing. And chapter 6 is expressing life through verses. And if you like, I can share one of those verses with you.
Please.
Which pretty much it explains my journey. So this one is called Born to Be Me. As I awake and take a breath, a brand new day now lays ahead. No then, no where, just here and now. I would begin if I knew how. Instead of break my habits old, those beliefs that I've been told, I keep them close, they are my truth, but in my heart, this is uncouth. I am a girl who came to earth. My life began like any issue is they had a past, and in themselves they did not trust. Their ego's bigger than their hearts. Do this, not that, each day they'd blast. I tried so hard just to be me, my soul seeking to be free. The years went by and I began to question truths that I now had. The mold then did begin to break. and it was not without heartache. For being me meant I would lose the human family I did choose. So torn between be me and them, so intertwined, where does this end? I tried instead to find this me that I was told that I should be. And every task I took to hand, I would complete until the end. For I have pride, I told myself, I must lay low, not make a sound. Just follow in the path they led to all the dreams of me they had. This could not last. It wasn't me. And so my soul I need to see. For all the love and joy I seek is flowing through me as I speak. Although I'm older, I'm still me. My soul screaming just to be free. My dreams, my hope, it's my journey. It's up to me to set me free.
Well, God blesses a child that has his own. Now, you call it verses. We call it poems, poetry. That is absolutely beautiful. Is that what the book is full of, verses and poems?
So chapter 6 is verses. It's my expression of life through verses. And so the book is actually a memoir. It's a reflection of my life, the trauma that I experienced, but gaining the wisdom from that. So rather than coming from a place of depression and victimhood, which is obviously the emotion is overlaid through the story, but what I'm wanting to share is the journey from what happened and how I came to heal myself. And there's some exercises in the book to help people to question their values, their beliefs, to help them to get to the other side.
Yeah, Brain, see, it's interactive. And that's what I love, too. There's a lot of books out there, but it's a lot of times it's where people are feeling like they're being talked to. This way, this book is interactive. It's poetic. It's empathetic. It's emotional. But there's joy on the other side. And I think that you are just an absolute joy. Thank you so much for being here on the edge with me and my brains. Please tell us how we can get in contact with you. They want to work with you. We want them to purchase a copy of the book. We want them to join your tribe on Facebook, on all the social media platforms. Because again, you know, we can't go through this life, brains, by ourselves. And, you know, sometimes I'll say it, family can be the worst, you know. They can, you know, strangers can treat you better than your family. But you have to be able to communicate, tell people what you need, delegate, push off what you don't need, and recognize the warning signs. You know, these narcissistic personalities or over excessive drinking or drugging or partying or sex or porn. You see all that stuff. You don't have to sacrifice. You can do bad by yourself, right? Or you could do, you know, you could do better with yourself and your three kids. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, beautiful.
Thank you. So you can find me on my website, www.stellaresultscoaching.com.au here in Australia. And so you can purchase the book on Amazon, Finding Our Way Back to Ourselves, Stella Georgiou. Or you can contact me via Facebook. You can search for my name on Facebook and send me a friend request.
Well, send her a friend request. Get to know her, because I did, and I absolutely love her. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. Y'all got to open up them borders. When I come down there, we are going to have quite the Australian party. Okay, I want to learn how to make the drums. You're going to do the EFT. Another one of my person who's going to take us on a guided meditation. I've got so much to do down there, and there's a lot of energy down there, and there's a lot of love. So thank you again, Sarah Georgiou, for being here on the edge with me. Come back and visit me again. Let me know, and I'm going to get this book out and help you promote it so that we can get as many sales as possible, because people need the healing.
We absolutely do. Thank you so much. God bless. Thanks, April.
Yeah, I know. Wait a minute. We got to let people know where they are. Oops, I always turn that card upside down. You got it. Yes. This is what we're doing, brains. Okay. The place where the conversation is pointed, guests are sharp, and responses are never dull. here on The Edge. Love, like, share, do all of that, okay? Take care of yourself. We're here to catch you if you fall. Bye, brains.